Triangle.
I mean, cats. Ashes. Shmini. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for attending. The opening to our Torah is the title of the shiur, which is Two Sides of the Matzah. And but as always, one has to begin with the Milsa B'dichusa, as the Gemara says. I noticed in the Baruch Hashem, I'm Zoicha to teach in Beis Yaakov, Jewish High, and in the magazine they had a good... In the magazine they had a good joke. Somebody went into the bank, and the bank is already preparing for Pesach, because they were standing in the queue, and he was standing in the queue, and the announcement came, cashier number one, please, cashier number two, please, cashier number three, please. So obviously the bank is getting ready for Pesach. Well, I thought it was funny anyway. So, this is by way... this is by way of observation. Over the years that we've heard many Divrei Torah, I can't remember exactly who I heard this question from. I think it may have been Rabbi Sofer Franz. If it sounds good, then it's from him. If it's not, it's my own idea. We start the Seder with Holach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, De'achol Avason Abar de Mitzrayim. We hold the matzah up, we say this is the bread of affliction, which we ate in Mitzrayim. And later on, the Haggadah says, Rebbe Gamliel hoy oimer kol shiloi om ashtosh duvar meil bepetha lo yosadech avasoi. We come to the matzah, we take the same piece of matzah, the same piece. And we say, so the beginning of the Seder, the matzah is lechem oini. And in the later part of the Seder, it's lechem cheirus. So the question is, what is it? And to add to that, if you're going to say lechem cheirus, this is what we ate. If you ask somebody what's cheirus, lechem cheirus, lechem cheirus is a geschmacka piece of challah, perhaps like you have on Purim with a few raisins put in with a nut, you understand? But the same piece of matzah, to hold this piece of matzah up and to say this is the bread of freedom, when just a moment, at the beginning of the Seder we say lechem oini, this is the bread of affliction. So the matzah seems to have a bit of a double identity, and it's the same. And it's the same matzah. And the answer is, there's a lesson here, because when we came out, there's two ways you can look at something. You can look at something and say, "Is this all I have?" You can look at the matzah and say, "This is all we had. This is all we had." Or you can turn it over and say, "We even had this." And you can apply this thing, and that is freedom. Freedom means the ability to think clearly, and to look at this piece of matzah and to say, we even had this in Mitzrayim, or on the way out of Mitzrayim. That's real cheiros. It shows an appreciation. It shows that our level of Akaras HaTov begins at a very low level, which means it doesn't take much to switch on the thermostat of Akaras HaTov. Because if a person can look at a piece of matzah and say, this is what we had when we came out of Mitzrayim, and before it was lechem oini, it shows we now have a new attitude to Ezo Ashir, Hasamech Bechelkai, who was so grateful we even had this piece of matzah. And therefore, so to speak, the Ribbono Shel Olam made the same matzah to see what the Eden would say. We came out of Mitzrayim, what was the first meal? Matzah. Yeah, we had this in Mitzrayim. No, this is Cheirus. This is now, Baruch Hashem, we even have a piece of matzah. This is Lechem Cheirus. So either, and it's a bit like the attitude we learned from Yaakov and Esav. When Yaakov met Esav, he gave him the present, and Esav says, Yesh li rov, I have a lot. And Yaakov says, no, take it, yesh li kol, I have everything. And there's a whole difference in life, how you go through life. Yesh li rov, I have a lot, but donations are always welcome. Or yesh li kol, I'm very satisfied with all what I have, the Eibush has given to me. Eizo osher, who is wealthy, hasamech b'chel koi, the Eibush has given this to me. And therefore I'm very, very happy with it. And I wanted to say, to tell you of a thought which I once, when I was preparing the shiur, a thought came to mind. I may have said it here before, so please be moichel me if you've heard it. And that is from Rav Sholem Shuadron. I heard this from him in person when he came to Gateshead, and he said like this. The Mishnah says in Perek, in the last, in Perek Shishi, Pirkei Avos, Kachi Darka Shel Torah. What is the way of Torah? Pas b'melach toichal, mayim b'mesor tishteh, a little bit of bread and water, al oris tishon, yishlof on the floor, chayitz ha'tichyeh, Torah ha'tomoy, imata ois ha'kein, ashrecho v'toivloch, happy and will be good for you. Shrecho b'olam hazeh, happy in this world, v'toivloch l'olam haba. And happy will be you in Olam Haba. So Rav Sholem Shuadron said, the Olam Haba bit I can believe. If a person lives a life of Chai Tzar, then he has, and his Omar Batoira, I can understand the Ashrecha B'Olam Haba. What's the Ashrecha B'Olam Hazeh? How can you say that a little bit of bread and water and salt is going to give you happiness in this world? And he said, imagine you have a Pirkei Avos hotel, and I actually printed out a, I look for an advert, there's plenty of adverts for hotels. Every meal will be accompanied by fresh fruits and vegetables, as well as a wide selection of wines and liquors. Choose from meat and parva entrees for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Enjoy themed menus such as Mexican night, Chinese night, midnight chocolate madness. These are the Pesach hotels. Choices, 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 sushi bar, coffee shop, lavish kiddushim, grab and go cafe, patisserie, daily hot breakfast buffet. Now I'm not knocking people who go to hotels for Yom Tov, because in certain cases there's a good reason for it. It's not my business how people spend the money. But if you're going to open a hotel for Pesach, you've got to be, you know what I mean? You've got to do it properly. So imagine, says Rishon Shadron, you have a Pirkei Avos hotel. What's your menu? Pasva Mela, Toichal, Maibel Sura Tishda. And what's the sleeping accommodation? Alaris Tishon. You understand? You'd be so bankrupt you couldn't even afford the advert. So the people would not come to such a hotel. So how can the Chazal tell you, Ashrecha Ba'olam Hazeh? So if we apply what the Haggadah says, Ha lachma anyo diachol avosan barat Mitzrayim, this is what we ate in Mitzrayim. This is how we ate. This is how we slept, and it led to our chayrus. And so everything more than that. In other words, the mission is telling you how some people had to live. And lo aleinu, during the war years and the camps, etc., people passed by Malach Toichal, Allah's Tishon. There were times in our lives when this is how we ate, and this is how we drank, and this is how we slept. And it was the difference between life and death. I remember a few years ago in Hasmonea, we invited a guest speaker on Tisha B'Av. We had Mr. Rajinsky. We remember him. Your neighbour.
Yeah.
And that's correct, yes, that's right. And he came to Hasman Inn and he spoke to us, and he got thirsty in the middle of the drosha, and he asked for a glass of water, and we gave him a glass of water. And he said, in, you know, Shakoil, and he said, in Auschwitz this was a difference between life and death. We have to appreciate. I remember the Hermelis meals which were given out in lunchtime. They were the caterers, and a boy came along and he looked, he says, not very much to eat today. And I said to him, if my father would ever hear you say such a thing, Sam, we take things for granted. We have to know what minimum you need in life, and everything more than that, everything more than Pastor Melach, everything more than Alois Tishon is luxury. And how grateful we have to be. And that's why we say this is the bread of freedom. This is what we came out with when we came out of Mitzrayim, because now we have a true perspective. We have a true perspective. I know somebody who has a Schmatter car, but on his key fob he has a Rolls Royce emblem. And he told me, because this is his Rolls Royce. When he pulls up the traffic light, the Rolls Royce also pulls up the traffic light. You don't get anywhere quicker because you're driving a Rolls Royce. You just sit more in luxury. So therefore, it's a matter of being happy with everything the Eibishter gives us. I once heard from Reb Moshe Miller, Zichron Levracha, the principal of the old Semin Gate, said, he said, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek l'olam haba. Everybody has a chelek in olam haba. Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek l'olam haba. He said, in olam haba, everybody's got a chelek. Because you can't misunderstand olam haba. Yeah, you can't be there and not understand where you are. But in olam hazeh, not everybody has a chelek. Only from Yidden. Only those Yidden who appreciate because many people go through life very unhappy because always looking for something more and something more. Yeshli Rav. But if you go through life Yeshli Kol, then you have a chelik in Olam Hazeh. You're so happy with whatever Hashem gives you. And it's interesting to note, in Lashon HaKodesh, you cannot say I own, it's mine, I have. You can't say those. You can't say that. The most you can say in Lashon HaKodesh is yesh li, there is to me. Because that mirrors the hashkofa, the yesh, it comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and li, the Eibush is letting me use it. And perhaps this is why on Shabbos, just B'derech Efsher, many things are muksa, to show that on Shabbos everything we celebrate Bereis Olam, and therefore everything that we own goes back to Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the boss, it goes back to him, and therefore it's not ours, it's muksa, it's beyond our, it's not ours to touch, and on Motzei Shabbos Hashem gives it back to you again. So therefore, that's a little yeshli, there is to me. And that's why Yaakov Avinu was so anxious. He went back for the Pachim Ketanim. He went back for those Pachim Ketanim because the Eibishter gave them to him. It's choshev. Nowadays we throw everything away. Everything gets thrown away. Imagine previous generations would come and see what we do to a kiddush. You've got a beautiful tablecloth and napkins and the glasses and the cutlery, it all looks real. And along comes the big black bag, and the whole thing. What are you throwing these things away for? We're such a throwaway society. So we have to be on guard. I'm not saying you never can't have a paper plate in your house, but appreciate what the Eibishter is giving us. And perhaps we go back even further. The Mishnah says in Perek Hey Mishnah Vov, many things were created Erev Shabbos, and one thing that was created by Erev Shabbos was Tzvas, but Tzvas Asuya, tongs made with tongs. And the Mishnah says Tzvas, but Tzvas, tongs made with tongs. And the Mephoreshim say, what does this mean, Tzvas, but Tzvas Asuya? And the answer is that Adam HaRishon had to make Kalim. But in order to make molten metal, you need to have a keli with which to hold it. So how do you need a keli to make the next generation of kelim? You can't take molten metal in your hand. You need a keli to do with. The Eibishter gave him the original kelim in order to make the next whatever came after that. So I was thinking that everything that we own, every manufactured item that we own, comes from those tzvas. When the Eibishter gave those tzvas to Adam HaRishon, in that was planned every material object which is manufactured, whether your watch, your pen, anything, your washing machine, anything has come from those original tongs. And therefore the Eibishter has planned from Meroish what every person needs in every generation. It all comes from those original tongs. It's come from Ribbono Shel Olam. And I was thinking when I was preparing this, that when a person goes when a person goes to the Queen to collect their OBE or MBE, she'll give you a medal, okay? And this medal is very choshev, but how much is this medal worth? And I happen to see a catalogue from Sotheby's, the auctioneers, where they sell off job lots of medals. The old soldiers in the Russia, they pass it on to the family, and the family want to raise a few bob, so they sell off the granddad's old medals, the George Cross and the etc. All the medals which from the great grandfather, and you can get a whole box for £100. They're not worth very much at all. So what's the chap? The chap is it's come from the Queen. The Queen gave it to you, and therefore it's choshev. You'd be thrilled to know that whenever the American presidents sign a bill into law, so the pen is then given to one of the senators standing round that is awarded to them as a gift. They all stand round and he gives the pen. They don't use the same pen more than once. And this pen was once handled by the President of the United States. It's something choshev. So if it's not the real value, it's who touched it before it came to you. So kal v'chomer lehavdil elef havdolos, that something which I own came to me from the Ribbono Shel Olam kav yochad himself, how choshev everything is. Holach ma'anyo. This is what the Eibishter gave to me, and therefore that's what makes it so choshev. So perhaps on Seder night we have an opportunity to be mesadeh ourselves, to reevaluate what's important in our lives and pass on to the next generation. This generation have come into a world where there's plenty, everything is available, and we say the holach manu, don't take things for granted. You think Tesco 24/7 it's not like that. We're so fortunate. Don't take things for granted. And I think I once shared the story. If not, I'll repeat it. Please forgive me. That when I was in Hasmonea, we used to send boys to Russia to be Makarov, and we would send them actually Erev Pesach with suitcases of food in Minsk and the orphanage there, and there was a whole Kirov program. And then when in more recent years, when in the times of perestroika, which means I think freedom, or I'm not sure what perestroika means, but where now it's easier for Russian children or people to travel out of Russia. And so on that year, one of our teachers was able to bring back a group of boys back to London for a return visit for a couple of weeks, and they stayed in various families. So one of the rebbeim told me that he took a boy to, before he went back to Russia, he took a boy to Brent Cross, Tesco Brent Cross, and he wanted to, you know, to go shopping with him. And he's talking to him and he's showing him around, and all of a sudden as he's walking into Tesco, he realizes he's not talking to him anymore, he's gone, he's not there. He turns round, the poor fellow's on the floor, he'd passed out, he'd fainted. And they brought him round. He said, "What's the matter?" He said, I thought I was in Gan Eden. I've never seen anything like this before. Floor to ceiling, wall to wall, there were cereals and milk and goodies and tachkas, and it's all for sale. And I don't understand, people are walking up and down with sad faces. So, we should be dancing down the aisles, literally off your trolley. You know, I mean, we should be. And what's that desk over there? Complaints? What complaints? People should be so happy, so fortunate to such things available. So therefore, that's the two sides to the piece of matzah. That yes, it may have originally been lechem oini, but it became lechem cheirus, and it's an opportunity to reevaluate how much yeshli has come to me from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore Seder night is one of the happiest nights of the year because it gives an opportunity to appreciate everything that we have. Talking about the matzah, I would like to say a vort which I heard from B'Shem Rab Gershon Kahen. Rab Gershon Kahen It was a famous rabbi in France, in Aix, I don't know how you pronounce it, Aix-les-Bains. And he lived through the war years. He was one of the leading rabbonim in France. And he asked the following kasha. We take the matzah, we break it into half. This is the matzah we're referring to. Half becomes moitzi. It's alachilas matzah, and later on it is for afikoimen. The other half is for afikoimen. So the question is, why do we break the matzah? Why do we have a matzah for achilas matzah and a matzah for afikoimen? Why do we take the same matzah, break it in half, and so he said, "Bederek drush." And only somebody who survived the war can say such a thing. And he said that we're living in a very beautiful world. The world has got much beauty. There's the sunsets, the sunrise, and the gadlus aboire. It's a very beautiful world. However, there are many things in the world which are not so beautiful. And on the national level, on the personal level, there can be things which look very unpleasant and very very difficult. And this is represented. So the matzah represents the world, and when you break it, you've got jagged edges. That represents sometimes the difficulty, the nisyonis of life, which matzah hamol, either on a national level, on a personal level. And we have sometimes difficulty in comprehending and understanding why this had to be. So if the one half represents Olam Hazeh, and the other half represents Olam Haba, which according to some Pshatim it does, so when you put them together, all the cracks, everything comes back together. It's like a jigsaw. Everything fits together perfectly. Then you'll see with the jagged edge is actually something which fits together. We'll understand fully how everything comes together in the broader perspective of life, why things have to be. I once heard from Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, Zichron Avrocha, he said in his inimitable style, he said, there were two people who came into shul, had never been to shul before. One left early and one came late. And the chazal was intoning the posuk, Shomer Hashem Eskol Ha'avov, Veskol HaRashom Yashmid. That was what the chazal. So one person came in late, and he heard the chazal say, Eskol Ha'avov, Veskol HaRashom Yashmid. And he thought, this is a funny way to run a world. So he had a kasha on what this is all about. And the other person left early, and heard the chazan say, Shomer Hashem Eskol Ha'avov Eskol HaShoim. And he left. And he also had a kasha, because one didn't hear the Shomer for the Oyavov, and one didn't hear the Yashmid for the Roshoim. It only makes sense, said Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, if he's there for the whole Pasuk, and you see how it all fits together. So many things in life from a previous generation will only become clear in the future generation. We see things in the span of our Admei Besserim, and we have kashas, but eventually everything will come back together and make sense. And therefore, on this theme, I was zoichin hasmonin to work with somebody called Rabbi Alan Cohen Zichron Livracha, and very choshev yid. And on his notes on the Haggadah, which I happen to have a copy, just a little Dvar Torah by the way. Someone asked Rabbi Yonis and Eichitz. The pasuk says, Vayimaru eschayehem bavoyda kasha. And then the trop is, Vayimaru eschayehem kadma vazla. Happy tune. Yeah, it should be, you know, me'ah to the, you know, it should be a sort of a sad note. Yeah, so the Talmidim roundabout were very amused. They thought it was a bit of a klutz kasha. But Rabbi Yonason answered, he said, why is it in a happy tune? Vayimoros Chayehem, because through the Vayimoros Chayehem, through the Shibud becoming more intense, Hashem took off he reduced it to 210. 190 years were taken off. So the Vayimoros Chayehem brought the Gula nearer. Yeah, so this is the jagged edges sort of coming closer together, so to speak. And he's also added that Kadmova Azla is Gematria 190, which is the, how much Hashem reduced the Shibud by. So no, just throw that in by the way. And sort of to add to that, on that theme of looking on the bright side, so we see Masa Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shuv, Rabbi Lezer, Ben Nazar, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tafon, Shem Subin, Bibnei Brak. They were having their Seder in Bnei Brak. And the kash is, why do we need to know where they were? What's the chashivas? Okay, Bnei Brak is very choshev, but why is that the only reason why it's in there? And so in the Haggadah of the Orach HaShulchan, called Leil Shimurim, he says that the Rav of Bnei Brak was Rebbe Akiva, and this was the first Seder, Noch the Churban. And there was only, so people thought, there's no Beis HaMikdash, this is the first time they'd been without Beis HaMikdash. People thought, there's no future, there's no hope. Who can give a Seder in this first year of Golus? Who's got optimism? Who says Gamzul HaToiva? Who was it when he came to the Beis HaMikdash and they saw the ruins and he said, if the Eibishter, they cried, the Chachamim cried, and Rabbi Akiva laughed. And according to one Girsa, they cried because of the Churban. He laughed because he said, if Hashem gives such simcha to Rishoyim, can you imagine what's waiting for Tzadikim in future years? He looked on the bright side. And therefore, the only person who could give this Seder in the first year of Godless was Rabbi Akiva and Bnei Brak. And therefore, this is just an interesting insight into Yachatz. I'd just like to say we're running out of time, so I'll just Karpas. We'll Kadesh Urchatz Karpas. We'll go back one step. We've gone to Yachatz. We'll go back to Karpas. And the question is, what is Karpas? I don't know if this has ever been spoken about here. There's very, very many interesting ideas. Karpas stands for, it's a joke. Carrots, radish, parsley, celery. But that wouldn't answer it, because you could call it saparak or something. What is Karpas? Why do you dip it in? And why is it in the beginning of the Seder? So the best answer which I've ever heard is from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zecher Tzad Livrocha. And he says as follows, that when Yaakov made a Kesoinis Pasim for Yosef, so he's called Kesoinis Pasim. And Rashi on that pasuk of Kesoinis Pasim says the word Pasim is related to the word Karpas in Karpas Chur Karpas Techeles. So in Achashverosh's garden party. So the word Karpas means fine wool. Yeah, and it's related to the, and it's a, so it's related to Kesoinis Pasim. So the answer is, says Rabbi Bernstein, that the Karpas we dip into salt water represents the coat of Yosef, which was dipped into blood when unfortunately there was Sinas Achim between the brothers, and Yosef was sold down to Mitzrayim, and it's so therefore it's the. So Rabbi Bernstein said as follows, that the whole Seder is to remind us Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim, how we came out of Mitzrayim. But we have to ask the Kasha, why did Yidden ever come to be in Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim, Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim is part of who we are. Everything is, the Shema Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim is one of the Sheish Zechirois, and the Kiddush Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim. Everything is Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim. Where did this Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael Kesher begin? It began with Karpas. It began when Yosef was sold, and that started the whole link. And therefore, the whole Seder represents how we came out of Mitzrayim. Karpas reminds us how we came to be in Mitzrayim. And unfortunately, we still, it's no coincidence that Seder night is the same night as Tisha B'Av, the same night as Seder night, Tisha B'Av night, because it represents that lack of Achdus which caused the goddess in the first place, and by dipping the carapace into the salt water, it reminds us how we came to be in Mitzrayim, and the rest of the sages is how we came to come out of Mitzrayim. So Be'ezus Hashem, when we dip the carapace into the salt water, we should be reminded to strengthen our the love for each other in personally, family, in Klal Yisrael, in Achdus, and Be'ezus Hashem, Lashona Hazeh B'Yerushalayim.
Carry on, I've got more said.
Sorry, Raboisa, I didn't realise it's till 10:20. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't realise that I was looking at the 10:20. Sorry for giving you a false hope. So the next of our Torah for the remaining 10 minutes is on the Arba Koisos. And again, it's from the Haggadah of the Aruch HaShulchan, Leil Shimurim. And he asked the Kasha, why in the Manishtana there's no mention of the Arba Koisos? We mention everything, we mention many things, which Manishtana Halayla Azeh, and the Arba Koisos is one of the, is a obvious feature of the Seder night, so why is it not mentioned in Manishtana? So he says that the Bavli says that Arba Koisos is to remind us of the Arba Lashonis of Gula. But he brings the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the Arba Koisos, Amar Rabbi Shuban Levi, the Arba Koisos Kenegad Me, what do they represent? They represent the Arba Koisos of Paroi. The Arba Koisos of Paroi, which were mentioned in the dialogue between the butler and the baker, and in their dreams. Vayishal Asrusei Paroi Asheita B'Mishma Madua Panechem Roim Hayoim. So this is how the parasha is introduced. Why are you sad today? And I think it's important just to mention an idea before we just come on to the whole concept of the dream. Who were with him in prison. Now obviously they were with him in prison, otherwise you couldn't ask them why are they sad. Yeah. You can't have a conversation with someone who's not there. So the answer which I once heard was to teach you the gadlus of Yosef. That many people do visiting, they do prison visiting or do hospital visiting, but their car is parked outside. And it's a great thing to visit people in the Aesorah. There's no question about it. It's an amazing thing. But it's an even greater thing if you're in the same matzav. Asha'ita b'mishma, he was with them in prison. He had his own reasons to be sad and complain about life. But he was able to put his own sorrows to one side and is able to say to them, Madua Panechem Roim Hayoim, why are you sad today? And that's a very special madrega, to have sorrows of one's own, but to focus outwards and say, how can I help you? That's just by the way. So they told him the dream that How does it go? V'eshak kois paroi biyodi, I was squeezing out grapes, and I gave them el kois paroi, v'atenes ha kois al kaf paroi, and then Yosef answered, v'nosata kois paroi. We mentioned a cup of paro four times. And that's why he says, Yerushalmi, we have four cups of wine. So the question is, what's the link between the kois paroi and Seder night? So Rav Yechiel Michalalevi Epstein, Zichron Levracha, Aruch HaShulchan, answers as follows. He says, in order to understand this, we have to understand why the butler and baker were in prison. You have to go back. So you look at Bereishis Mem, and you'll see the Pasuk says, Vayiachad Vroimoele, Chotum Mashke Melech Mitzrayim Va'oifer. They sinned. So Rashi explains, there was a fly and a stone. The fly went into the cup, the stone went into the dough. As a result of which they were thrown into prison, and later on they were judged, the butler was reinstated, and as Yosef said, there will be a Yosef, Paro will have his birthday. I can't resist the from here we have the Minhag, the famous song which we sing because birthdays were invented in Egypt by Paro. That's why we have the song, for he's a jolly good Pharaoh. Now he asked the following question, that it doesn't make sense. First of all, the word chotu is wrong. If this was a mistake of a butler and a baker and a fly and a stone, why the chotu? Chotu means something you did wrong. It should say to'u, they made a mistake. Shogagu, they made an error. But chotu, they sinned, means they did something wrong. That's number one. Number two, isn't it strange that the fly and the stone were at the same time? And now that they're being judged, how can the butler get his job back? Here, one thing that the stone in the dough, the king may never see. It may go into a piece of cake, which the king never reaches, and it's covered over. A fly in the wine is bound to come to the king's attention. And therefore, how can the butler get his job back, and the poor baker, he was... So Rav Epstein says, Libi Amali, this is his own understanding. He said the butler and the baker were enemies, and they each tried to discredit each other. We're in the middle of a machloikas. It was the butler who put the stone in the dough. It was the baker who flicked the fly into the wine. In each to discredit each other. So the king now judged them. And he said, the stone in the dough I may never have seen, therefore the butler may be reinstated. The baker who put the fly in the wine, that's really out of order, and therefore he has to die. And so what's this got to do with the Seder night? Why do we drink? Because it's very similar to the carapace. Because the butler and the baker were enemies. And they were in the service of the king. They served wine and bread to the king. Had there been shalom between them, they could have stayed in the king's palace, their generations could have stayed in the king's palace, but because of sidas chinam between the butler and the baker, they were thrown into prison. That's very similar, says Rav Epstein, to our matzav, that we too, the sinner between us is really what caused the sinas chinam between Klal Yisrael in later generations caused us to be in godless, and therefore that's why we Seder night is again the same night as Tisha B'Av, because it's another year in Golus. And you know why we don't mention it in the Arabic in the Malishtana? Because it's a Dovah Shel Ganai. It's an embarrassment that we're still in Golus. We're still the same butler and we're still the same baker. We haven't put it right yet. And therefore again, Seder night is an opportunity to be thinking about how to improve the concept which brought us to being godless in the first place. Is it time for one more thing?
Yeah.
So Rosh Mahu Oimer. This is just a very quick idea. Ma Avoid Azois Lochem, and therefore Hakei Shinov. So just to say very, very quickly, it's a good kasha, ma'avod olos lochem, but the hakeh shinov, we send him to the dentist, this seems to be a bit of a harsh reply. And hakeh shinov literally means, it means many things. I heard hakeh shinov, take off the shin, and the rosha turns into ra. Whenever you face with a person with a bad attitude, don't label him, label his attitude, deal with the attitude. Yeah, Rabbi Victor Miller once said that the Rosha, the word Rosha, is the same letters as Ra'ash, which means upheaval. Many people who are Rishayim are Ra'ashim. They're just saying that there's something not going well in their life. Find out what it is and put the matter right, and then it's Ois Rosha. So, but nevertheless, the Kasha is a good Kasha. Why Hakeh Shinov? And the answer is as follows. So, and again, I heard this from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, and Rabbi Bernstein is as follows: we say Avodim Hayinu LePara B'Mitzrayim, and then later on we say V'Achshav Kervon HaMakom LaAvod Osoi. Yeah, we were Avodim in Mitzrayim, and the Haggadah says later on the Hashem brought us LaAvod Osoi. So the Rosha says we were slaves there. And now again, 24/7, eat this, don't eat that, come here, don't. Tarag mitzvahs. So we've swapped one kind of slavery for another kind of slavery. And he doesn't understand the concept of what freedom is. And says Rav Bernstein, there's a big difference between chayrus and hefkerus. Chayrus means freedom to do things, to be free to do the right thing. And hefkerus means there's no law and order. So of course, chayrus means we there's obligations. Al tikre chorus al chayrus. A philosopher once said, my violin string is free, but it's not free to make music. When I tie it into the violin and tie both ends, it's free to make music. And many things are tied down, which gives us freedom. Your car wheel is tied to your car, but it gives you that you wouldn't want your tire to have to become the traffic lights. If traffic lights break down, yeah, the engine on the plane is tied very firmly to the wing. But by being chorus, this is what Chazal say, al tikra chorus el chayrus. Because by being chorus, this is Rav Hirsch, by being fixed into one place and having an obligation, chayrus, it gives you an ability. We just learn Hilchas Chafetz Chaim, by being told what we can't say and what we can say, it gives you freedom to speak properly. So therefore, Hakeh Shinov, says Rav Bernstein, is what life would be like under the Rosha. You don't have any rules at all. Hakeh Shinov, I don't like you, I can smack you. There's no obligation. And therefore, that the freedom is the opportunity to do what we have to do, not what we want to do. And therefore, we ask, how fortunate we have to have the Torah, which is chorus, but it gives us true chayrus.
Excellent.